Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A prize-winning poet is visiting Central College. What first inspired him to write? What purpose does his writing serve? And why is he compelled to write every day? Let's go in depth with Bob Hickok, professor of creative writing at Virginia Tech. So, Bob, what got you started writing poetry?
My girlfriend broke up with me when I was 20. So I, you know, had the usual crushed heart and stopped at one point and got a notebook and started writing about my crushed heart and never moved away from it. I had done well with writing in school, high school, but I didn't really have an interest in it. But once there was an emotional reason to be writing, something clicked and I never turned away from it.
Who was your audience with that poem?
Me.
You.
Yeah, I was. There was no thought. I think most people who do this, there's no thought of showing it to other people or no thought of this turning into anything. It tends to begin really innocently. You're trying to understand something. And the way we work things out is we make the internal external. We give ourselves an opportunity to look at it, to deal with it. And that worked for me from jump, for whatever reason.
And so was it kind of therapy for you?
I would say so. It's probably the easiest category to put it in. I hesitate a little because there's a pejorative sense. I think people can look at therapy in this context as a belittling. I don't think it is. I think most people who do this, if they're not getting that kind of self-elucidation out of it, they wouldn't stick with it. It really does allow you, require you, to look at yourself in a way that just you wouldn't in your walking around life.
Did you learn something from writing that poem?
Oh, I don't even remember the poem.
Do you remember the girl?
Yes. Her name was Mary Day. And I'm actually very happy we're not together. But, of course, at that point, my world was collapsing because of the end of the relationship.
Well, then you picked yourself up and went on
and
wrote more poems,
yes.
Many, many more.
Yes.
Well, what stimulates you to write a poem?
I feel an almost physical need to do it. I write every day. About the only breaks I get are when I'm doing something like this. And it's by choice. I really like to write. So there really is not a stimulus. It's something that I need to do. If I don't do it, I tend not to be very happy. I'm shy by nature. If I don't get to write, my interest in dealing with other people goes down significantly. I think it's the fundamental way that I exist. I'm one of those people who, if I weren't writing, I don't know that I would know what I'm thinking or feeling. I don't walk around thinking. I don't walk around sort of focused on how I'm feeling. But when I write, I take these things that I know are going on all the time and I focus on them. I am attending to what I'm thinking, to what I'm feeling. So it kind of, to go back to the notion of therapy, it does a kind of house cleaning for me, I think. And I want that very much. And so again, I do it every day.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about his poetry with Bob Hickok, professor of creative writing at Virginia Tech. And so you might not even know what's on your mind or emotionally?
I don't. I'm not one of those people who sits down and knows what they're going to write about. And you can kind of divide writers. There are some who do. If they don't have that notion kicking around, they don't really get going. And then there are a group of us who sit down without any intention beyond the intention to write. And I've learned to pay attention to what is sort of floating through my mind. And the first thing that shows up that has any kind of shine on it, that's interesting to me, that's compelling, I tend to grab it, put it down, and go, and just see where that leads. I think another thing that I really love about writing is every time I do it, I'm sort of testing that ability. Can I make something of myself? Can I take these things that show up that I'm not deciding on really and turn it into a complete object, an object that represents me, that says something that I'm interested in saying, even though at the start I don't know where it's going?
Okay, so you don't know where it's going, and then it emerges, and I presume you get a draft, and then you tinker with it.
Yes and no. Because I worked for years while I was writing, and I worked a lot of hours. I was an automotive die designer. Die is in tool and die. So I was designing large objects that stamp out car parts. And the work required, I mean, an average work week was 60 hours a week. I had to finish poems. I did not have a lot of time to write. And I found I felt pretty bad if I didn't finish a poem. So I learned to complete a poem in a sitting. This is something that I've heard people speak to over the years. John Lennon talked about this in terms of writing songs. And a lot of times, if you don't finish a thing, you come back to it with a different mind. You have changed. You're not in sort of the moment of the poem or songs or painting's conception. So you tend, it can feel forced to complete it. So I tend to finish things, you know, right then.
Now, I don't really know how to ask this. I don't even know if I have the vocabulary for it. And when you come across, when you write the poem, are you honest to yourself? Do you write what you really feel, or is there a part of it that you want to hide that maybe isn't for public viewing?
Yes and no. Honesty to me, I've come to believe that honesty is the most important thing in writing. I have to be dealing with material I really want to deal with in a way that I really want to deal with it. That doesn't mean that I'm necessarily telling the situational truth. I'm very often invent the bits and pieces, maybe the narrative or the image or whatever it is that I'm using to get at that thing that I want to be honest about. Oftentimes those pieces will be made up, but what I'm trying to say can't be. If I don't feel it, if I don't believe it, even though I've learned to complete a poem, it doesn't work in a way that would allow me to send that poem out into the world, because it embodies a lie.
And you won't write that? You won't write a lie?
No,
Even though it's publicly acceptable?
I have, but less and less. One of the things I've found with time is I pretty much won't at this point lie about the core. The thing that the poem is really about is absolutely felt. I do mean it. The means to that honesty, the means to that truth, I'll lie about that in a heartbeat. I don't really care about that. I may want to express how I feel about my wife, which I actually do a lot in poems. In a given moment, the way I'm doing that could be completely made up. Mm-hmm. I might be writing about a hummingbird. That hummingbird in that context is a way of getting at how I feel about my wife. So the means, I don't care. I'll lie about that all day long. But what it's getting at, no. I can't. I don't think we should. Not just people who do this, but just in our daily lives. Lying is one of the biggest problems we have. We are so good at it. And you have to. You can't tell people the truth all the time. But we get so good at it that we tend to lie about things that really matter, how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about other people.
Well, it's easier that way. Yeah, when everybody asks you how you're feeling, you say, I'm fine.
Things are good. How are you doing? Oh, okay. How about you? And, I mean, if you told the truth constantly, you probably couldn't move through your day. And the problem arises when it bleeds over into those contacts, those moments when you should be telling the truth, whether it takes time or not. If I were trying to do that now, just kind of breeze my way through this, that would be no good. That's not the purpose of this kind of interaction. But we get too good at it, I think.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about his poetry with Bob Hickok, professor of creative writing at Virginia Tech.
A lot of what we say, what we utter, what we share is contextual. It depends on where we are in the relationship we have with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I mean, imagine telling someone the truth about their baby. If it was an ugly baby, who's going to do that? Who's going to do that? But if it was a husband and wife, and they knew in their heart of hearts they had an ugly baby, it would become affectionate. It would become a way of acknowledging what they've made and the value of what they've made. It becomes essential at a certain point to say, yeah, our kid does have kind of a lopsided head or whatever it is. It speaks to love at a certain point, but context does matter. They are the ones who could do that. Someone else, it would be horrible to come in and say, you know, your baby has a lopsided head.
Well, so life in general is very complex in that way.
Yes.
And so, but do you take any cautions in your poetry, like we would take in context of, you know, here and now, a radio audience, whatever?
No, I've come, with a few exceptions, I've come to think, it's something that writers talk about a fair amount, particularly young writers. Is it okay for me to write this poem about my father who beat me? Is it okay to, if it's a woman who loves a woman and she may have not found that that's acceptable, is it okay to do this or should I lie? I think we each have a group of things that we probably can't and shouldn't tell the truth about. There are a few things in my family that I would never write about because I would have to say something that would be hurtful, and there's no value in that kind of hurt. But I've kept it very limited. There are very few areas or subjects that I think I would back away from or that a writer should back away from. It's our job, really, to just look at it all. And again, try to be honest about it. Try to render it in a way that's beautiful, hopefully, entertaining, but tell the truth.
Is there a poet in all of us?
I think so. I think there's a poet in us, there's a painter in us, we are making creatures. We make things. We have to make things. If you think of us compared to a dog or a bear, our existence is tied fundamentally to the products we can make with our minds. And the kind of associative stuff that you see in poetry, the metaphorical stuff that shows up, just the interest in language, all of that is something that we carry around, everyone carries around in them. It's not something that we're encouraged to let out culturally. I think in this culture in particular, it's not something that there's much of a reward for engaging in. But yeah, I think it's... poetry represents something that is in everyone.
Do you think if we walked out right now and you said to some, the next person that we saw, we said, and you said, inside of you is a poet, do you think they would think that that was the case?
No, and I think that would probably scare the hell out of them on some level. Do you remember the movie, the Robin Williams movie in which he's a teacher teaching students poetry? Dead Poet Society. Mm-hmm. Do you know that movie?
Yes.
There's a scene in that movie. He has a young man standing on, I think they're standing on top of a desk. And this is a young man who really wants to do something, you can tell. But he's very cloistered. He's very, he's sort of caved in on himself. And the Robin Williams character covers the kid's eyes, and he keeps pushing him to utter, to say something that is not thought out, that comes naturally from him. And what I like about that scene is, little by little, you see this kid open up into someone who actually is quite poetic and is quite inventive, able to take what's kicking around in him and turn it into language that engages other people. My guess is that person, if we were to stop him or her, they would be kind of appalled by that, but pushed in the right way, and I think in particular not given time to think and not given time to worry about what they're saying, about whether what they're saying is right or wrong, would find they have a freedom with language and ideas that they perhaps had not considered before.
Do you have a poem you'd like to share with us today?
Sure. This is called The Gift. My wife gave me a tie made of the thread of life. I was afraid to wear a tie made of the thread of life, that it would snag, that I'd spill coffee on it. But I wore it, and every person who looked at it saw something different. One a waterfall, one a lava flow, one a forest primeval. Coming home, I took it off and forgot it on the bus. When I told my wife, she laughed and said, "Did you really think I'd give you a tie made of the thread of life? That was a tie made of silk, which is the memory of cocoons, which are wombs. You were wearing birth." I told her her thoughts are the happy childhood I didn't have. The sun was in her hair, where it stayed until she combed it out that night.
Very nice.
Thank you.
And you're reading at Central College Thursday night at 7:30.
I have no idea. They will take me someplace and I will read.
Well, we'll see you there.
Thank you. Thank you for the interview.
Thanks to Bob Hickok for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.